Black Friday here. It's the Foodie 411. I'm your host, Vincent Rotolo, and we're giving you an inside look to the off-strip food and beverage world. If you're coming into town, or maybe you're here, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit food comed out. It's been an unbelievable weekend and just a crazy week just leading up to all the food festivities happening in my life, in and around town. Everything that's going on is just seems like this whole week has been centered around food. But today, Black Friday, everybody's out there shopping, but you might want to be thinking about what events you can be going to, where you might want to eat and drink. So we're going to get you that information out here to you in just a few minutes. We're coming to you live from Palm Plaza. Palm Plaza Studios. Also, you may or may not know, I'm the owner of Good Pie Pizza Shop here at Palm Plaza. It's a Brooklyn-style pizzeria where we pay tribute to food traditions of Italian-American culture through the Grandma Pizza. And that's really something that is close to my heart. And so every time I think of my grandma, we think of pizza, obviously, we're thinking of our loved ones and our family tradition because the way we keep them alive are through recipes. And so coming up in just a couple minutes, we're going to break down a few recipes and where you can get them, some things that we're doing, not just the vegan stuff, but also some of the meat lover recipes that we had this Thanksgiving. But for just a moment, let's get Facebook open. This is the time on Foodie 411 where we share with you, the listener, our Facebook events activity. If you don't have the right friends on Facebook, you may not know what's going on out there, guys. So check us out, Facebook events. Here's what's going on this weekend. Let's see. Look at this. Esther's Kitchen has a new concept. You may have heard James Trees is opening up a new restaurant in Tivoli Village. It's coming in the first quarter of 2019. It's called Ada's. They're going to be doing these really amazing pizzas and also homemade ice cream, all these amazing flavors. But what they're doing on Saturday, November 24th from 9 a.m. to noon, right there at Tivoli Village, is a painting party. It's a really cool, actually, way to get everyone together to celebrate the restaurant. And so most places want to cover up their windows so you don't know what's going on during the transition of construction and then have the big reveal. And so in order to do that, James and his team at Esther's is going out to Ada's and they're having a paint party so you can come along and paint the windows, guys. It's really cool. They're painting vegetables and it's going to be led by a few local artists. And if you're artistically inclined, head over to 410 South Rampart and Tivoli Village on Saturday at 9 a.m. and just check out James Trees' new concept, Ada's. So that's going on. And then, obviously, I'm a big pizza fan. I'm a big bread fan. But I there's nothing more than I love is unlimited whatever you want to give me to drink on Sunday brunch. Because that's the way to kind of get over these hangovers or the food comas that you might be in, is to just keep drinking alcohol. So Sunday brunch, Pizzeria Monzu, critically acclaimed. This place is really killing it. I got to tell you, November 25th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Pizzeria Monzu on 6020 West Flamingo, Bottomless Prosecco Mimosa. That's right. All you can drink Prosecco Mimosas. And it's really high quality beverage there. The food is phenomenal. It's Italian-American inspired, or actually Italy inspired food. Here in Vegas, check out Pizzeria Monzu Sunday brunch. And then here's a really cool variety show on Saturday night. A lot of fun. So Saturday the 24th, the Lost Vaudeville Variety Show, brought to you by our friends at ISI, Industry Supporting Industry. It's at the Bunkhouse Saloon. $10 tickets and you get a comedy show, live music. There's some art going on and the comedians are actually hysterical. The live musicians you're going to see at the Lost Vaudeville Variety Show, it's really cool. And they even have some freak show performers, whatever that means. Maybe a sword swallower or, a three-legged guy. I don't know what's going on, what a freak show means, but tickets are $10. You can get them at ticketfly.com. The Lost Vaudeville Variety Show at the Bunkhouse Salon. Shout out to ISI and all of our friends supporting local artists in the food community. Really, really great. And so, recipes, right? I got to tell you, every Thanksgiving, it's traditional in my family that we have a porchetta. There's many different interpretations, but ultimately it's a pork belly wrapped with seasonings and spices, and it's wrapped around a pork loin. And the pork loin, which is very lean, and the belly, which is juicy and fatty, it kind of like is a way of like basting itself. And it's a delicious, crunchy and chewy and soft middle, but outside delicious like hard shell. Just Google porchetta, P-O-R-C-H-E-T-T-A, and you can see what I'm talking about. If you guys want a porchetta recipe, I got to tell you, the one I've had is tried and true. It goes down through my family from generation to generation. And just shoot me an email, pizza@goodpie.com, and we'll get you the porchetta recipe. Also, you know, my brother Sal, he makes multiple different turkeys every year. Yesterday, he killed it. We did a fried turkey. Then we had a smoked turkey in the smoker outside because we like to cook outside. So outside, we fry the turkey, we smoke it, and then he bakes a turkey. And what he does is he does a bacon basket weave on the turkey breast. Let me say that again. A bacon basket weave on the breast. So what it is you get slabs of bacon or slices of thick cut bacon, and you weave them together like in the shape of a basket. It's very simple to do. And then you're going to go ahead and get some pins, and you're going to pin the bacon weave onto your turkey breast before you actually cook it. What this does is an automatic pork fat basting on the breast of your bird. So it's an incredible way to keep that bird moist and juicy, and you don't have to open the oven like every 10 minutes or every 20 minutes or every however so often then and sit there and baste. You can pay attention to cooking all your other sides and entertaining guests, making eggnog and drinking, getting wasted. You can do all that fun stuff and just press a button. The bacon basket weave on the turkey breast is absolutely phenomenal. If you want these recipes or any other, please let me know. pizza@goodpie.com. So that's P-I-Z-Z-A at goodpie, G-O-O-D-P-I-E.com. Email me, Vincent Rotolo, and I will give you, and not just the porchetta or the turkey with the bacon weave on the breast. We're going to get you, all right, I know the vegans are out there. Vegans, my heart goes out to you guys because it's Thanksgiving, it gets crazy, and then everyone's eating all these meats, and it's food you really are not, you know, you're kind of getting away from eating meat or animal products. And then what do vegans do for Thanksgiving? Well, I have an amazing vegan lasagna. It's actually a vegan pasta sheet that you can make from scratch. It's super simple. And then you're going to layer this with vegan cheeses, vegan ricotta. You get the mushrooms, whatever your choice of veggie is. I like to do a blend of 3 or 4 different mushrooms because it feels like there's meat in there. Because these mushrooms for vegans, it has a really great meat-like quality. And then I have vegan Parmesan. Our good friends at Good Planet Foods have supplied me with the best vegan mozzarella Parmesan. And then I'm also blending another vegan cheese made by Follow Your Heart. So if you guys are looking for the best vegan cheeses, Follow Your Heart and Good Planet Foods are just some of them that I use. And this is the only recipe, guys. We're actually blending 4 different vegan cheeses together. So unbelievable. So email me for these recipes, pizza@goodpie.com. I'm so excited today. We got a great show coming up. Bringing into the studio, our first guest today is going to be Nectali Mendoza, the owner of Herbs and Rye, the owner and creator of Herbs and Rye. And he's here to talk about his new hot restaurant he just opened up called Cleaver. So Nectali's going to be out in just a minute. And then, of course, our good buddy from the Sand Dollar Lounge, one of the greatest industry bars in town, if not one of the coolest live performance venues in town. Anthony Jameson, owner of Sand Dollar Lounge, is coming out to spend some time with us. And if that's not enough, we have in the studio coming out food writer extraordinaire, actor, screenwriter, and stand-up comedian coming out. This guy is a bon vivant of everything food and performance. Jason Harris is coming out to the show. He's going to give us a lot of exciting information on upcoming projects and where you can see him perform stand-up. So Nectali, Anthony, and Jason all coming out soon. You're listening to 99.7, The Highway Vibe. Stay locked on this channel. We'll be back in a few minutes after these messages. It's the Foodie 411 with Vince Rotolo coming to you live from Pawn Plaza Studios. We'll be back. Stay with us. We're back, 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411 live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. Yes, finally, we have with us one of the true pioneers of the off-strip food and beverage movement, Nectali Mendoza, joining us, owner of Cleaver, the newly opened Cleaver, and the old school OG off-strip classic Herbs and Rye. Nectali, thanks for joining us.
What up? What up?
What's the good word, man? How you feeling today?
Blessed, man. Blessed. Living the dream.
So when you say living the dream, because it's true, because I'm trying to be on your level. I'm just getting started with the little pizza shop here. When did you actually open Herbs and Rye? What was the story behind the opening of it?
I was with the Light Group for several years.
Got it.
And then I started off the Bellagio when I was 17.
So you that was your first job in hospitality, was at Bellagio?
Was at Bellagio. Well, I worked at my aunt's restaurant as a dishwasher. Sucked at that. But she loved me, so she kept me on board. Now, my whole career was kind of like a fluke, man. My buddy Robert, who owns Banger Brewing now.
Okay. Shout out to Banger Brewing.
He got a job at the Bellagio as a busser. And I was like, man, dude, like, he got a job.
If he can work there,
I can. I smokes weed every day. Like, I think I got a running shot. Like, I was fresh out of juvie, man. Like, I was fresh out of getting in trouble. And so he gave me the number, and I kept calling this lady named Karen Ciccone. Long story short, man, she gave me an interview. I remember because I was like bouncing in and out with him
at the time.
And
in and out of trouble, or just
in and out of everything.
Yeah,
you name it. Yeah.
So then you went to Bellagio, you started there, that led to opportunities in the more of the nightlife area of it with the Light Group,
or
was it restaurants?
It was kind of, like I said, it was kind of a fluke. So I did really bad in the interview. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, they ask you three questions. They're like, you know, where do the French put the knives? I'm like, on the table? I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on. So she left me in a cubicle. She left me in a cubicle for 9 hours.
Got it.
So she felt so bad that she ended up giving me the job. I knew she had to come back because she left her purse. She actually went and got me outside because I left.
So you sat for 9 hours.
Yeah.
And what was going on? Like, you just like hung out for 9 hours in a cubicle to get your first job in hospitality. That's how this started.
I mean, I had nothing. I had a dollar in my pocket.
So that says a lot, because a lot of guys, I mean, I'm trying to get an understanding leading up into another question, which is, you know, how do you get from that point to opening a big restaurant that is critically acclaimed, award-winning, and just has an awesome feel, vibe, product, culture. I'm a big restaurant culture guy.
Yeah, so I got... What happened was when I got that job, I became a glass polisher.
Got it.
I so happened to be a glass polisher at Olives in the Bellagio.
Okay.
And that's when Tony Baganum was doing his thing. So my coaching was dope, because I ended up being with Tony on a broad scale, but I didn't know Tony like that. I ended up working behind a bartender named Michael Mack.
Okay.
He kind of taught me everything. Then from there, I met Andrew Sassone and Andy Massey.
Okay.
Then I went to go work for them, and I ended up learning all the inventory and everything, a guy named Paulie Scaringe.
And then why not stay on that path? What triggered something in you to be like, I'm doing my own thing, I'm going off the strip? Because again, Herbs and Rye opened when?
2009, December 15th.
So back then, there wasn't really... It's very different than it is today, right? Huge.
Yeah. Oh,
huge difference. Sure. It was kind of a risk, right? And so...
Oh, that was the middle of the recession.
Right, middle of the recession.
Yo, I signed the papers, and then I went home and told my girl, and then we watched the president on TV. He's like, yo, we're in a recession. I looked over at my girl, I was like, yeah, we nailed this one.
Wow. So huge success. Now, was it always... From day one, did you open up to like, we're slammed from day one, super successful, or were there some early years of growing?
I ate doo-doo for 4 years. I went $280,000 in debt. I went homeless. Like, I lived upstairs at Herbs for a while. Like,
wait, so you didn't have a place to live. You lived at the restaurant?
For a small period of time, and then we went into a rental property that my dad had. Yeah.
That's the ultimate grind, everybody. Yeah, this is when you are staying on the path.
Yeah.
There's no quit. Here's a guy who waited for 9 hours. Yeah. Now I know why you're successful. I don't even need to ask. Your first interview, you sat for 9 hours till you got the job. So they're like, this guy won't leave. We're giving him a job.
Well, it's cold outside too. I had no jacket.
And then you grinded it out in the early years of building your brand. And then today, now you just opened this hot new restaurant, Cleaver.
Yeah.
And so was that like always the plan to have more restaurants? Why not do another Herbs and Rye? What was it like? Can you tell us the thought process behind that?
So, it's kind of hard. Like, nobody ever knew Herbs was going to be what it was. It was kind of like, like when Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson were making Thriller, they weren't in the studio going like, yo, we just made Thriller. You know, they were looking at each other like, yo, you think it's going to be all right? That's how Herbs was. We didn't know it was going to do what it did. I knew that I was on the grind. I knew that I was one of the first ones that was going to leave the city and try to get the city on the map beverage-wise. So that grind built to something else. But when it came to other projects, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't even going to do another one here. I was on my way to Singapore and Puerto Rico. I was going to launch there.
Bring Herbs and Rye there.
I was going to bring Herbs and Rye to Puerto Rico or to Singapore.
Got it.
So I was out. And then after really, really genuinely thinking about it, I was like, why am I going to leave the city that I love? Like, I've been here since I was 2 months old. It's what I love.
And that's the amazing part of it, right? You had opportunities to go big, right?
Several.
Right, and then you decide to stay here, stay close to home. We're going to get into Cleveland, but before we shift gears, people are like, I'm just in a conversation with you kind of assuming that people know how amazing Herbs and Rye actually is, and maybe they don't. And for those that don't know, where can we find Herbs and Rye? On the website, or is it herbsandrye.com? Or
Everywhere.
Facebook, right? Yeah. Instagram, right?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram.
If you're a cocktail geek and you're driving on the road, hopefully you're not drunk and drinking. But if you're that person who appreciates
before or after, you
right? The list at Herbs and Rye is absolutely fantastic. It's like this; it transcends different time periods and cocktails. It's also a steakhouse. It's delicious steak, and they do a great happy hour. Can we talk about the happy hour for everybody?
Yeah. So basically, I feel personally we have one of the best beef happy hours off the strip, actually on the strip. So we break down everything in house. We're one of the few companies that actually left and went straight to the purveyors, straight to the butcher houses in Nebraska as well as in Kansas with the Stuckey farm families.
The quality's crazy, and I know you're going deep into research of finding the best quality to put out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's the best-selling item there at the happy hour menu? Because, what's the deal? Can we talk about the happy hour deal?
So 50% off all beef. And then we have a few appetizers. Anything with 2 stars on the menu is 50%
off. So the highest quality beef you can buy is 50% off when?
5 to 8 and midnight to 3.
5 to 8, midnight to 3. So the late night chef crowd hangs out there and eats. Yeah. The industry's crowd is always at Herbs and Rye. They actually host several different mixology competitions.
Yeah.
I went there for the first time for a competition a few years back. And I mean, the room is absolutely beautiful. And so real quick, Herbs and Rye, remember the happy hour, guys. Check it out, 5 to 8 p.m. Half price all beef, and there's a cocktail deal too, right?
All our well drinks are on happy hour, and then we have wine as well.
Guys, check out Herbs and Rye, and now the new spot.
Yeah.
Cleaver. Everyone in town's talking about the new spot, Cleaver. Yeah. It's just like, it's on Paradise, right?
It's on Paradise.
So tell me a little bit about Cleaver. Let's go into just like the inspiration for the menu and what offerings you have there as far as food and beverage that you really want to highlight for the listeners.
Well, Cleaver, basically, it's the second album, man.
And when
the first album's good, like the best thing you can do to bomb your career is drop a trash second album, you know. So we took our time with it, man. It was supposed to be a 4-month build out. We were done 4 months into it, and I delayed it 8 months just because I wanted to make sure it was right. But the inspiration, man, is it's Herbs and Rye throughout the years and everything that we didn't have initially. I mean, I opened up Herbs and Rye with 90K. I mean, wow. I roller brushed the floors there, you know, like we didn't have flooring. I painted the floors black there, you know, like wasn't until like 3-4 years later that we actually put money into the place.
So then what's on the menu? Like you have cuts of steaks, right? You have apps. There's a lot of these meat boards, the charcuterie program.
We didn't do the charcuterie program, but we did a huge, massive beef program there. We do bone ins there, so we're chopping bone in there as well. So it's Herbs and Rye with everything that we've learned in the last 9 to 10 years put into one beautiful place.
It's amazing, guys. Check out Cleaver. If you're coming into town, two of the off-strip options. By the way, the steakhouse is on the strip. It's like 4 times more expensive to go there than it is to go to Cleaver or Herbs and Rye, particularly during the happy hour. Yeah. And the quality of food and beverage is second to none. These guys are actually killing it. So any upcoming events, we want to just let everybody know what's going on. Anything special happening?
We got Barbania at Herbs and Rye. That'll be here in March.
Barbania.
Barmania, yeah.
Oh, so Barmania. Yeah. Is there barmania.com? Is that where you check it out? Is it
at
Herbs and Rye?
No, it'll be at Herbs.
Check out Herbs and Rye on Facebook. Hit them up on Instagram. Get your phones out. Check them out right now. On your way to town, do not go to your hotel, right? Don't check in. Hit up Herbs and Rye before, and then it'll be a much positive and pleasurable experience getting in. Yo, and Nectali, thank you so much for joining us on Foodie 411. We appreciate it, man. We're showing you so much love, and it's really amazing. You started this segment by telling us you're living your dream and the hard work, the dedication, not quitting. That's inspiring the entire valley, man. And so I've been looking up to you for a long time. And we were grinding it out trying to get our restaurant open. Yeah. It was you're one of the guys that actually helps us get through those hard times just by inspiring us.
All blessed, man.
Yo, appreciate having you here. Guys, you're listening to the Foodie 411. I'm your host, Vince Rotolo. We'll be back after these messages. 99.7 The Highway Vibe coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. And we're back. 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411. Coming into the studio, Anthony Jameson, the co-owner of the Sand Dollar Lounge, one of the best bars in town. Anthony, thank you, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, man.
So most of your friends call you Jameson, right? Can I just call you Jameson, or should I call you Anthony?
I don't think anyone even knows my name is Anthony.
Okay.
Unless they're childhood friends.
Got it. So speaking of childhood friends, now you own one of the hottest bars in town. What's awesome about the Sand Dollar is, you know, all the best chefs in the city go drink there after work. And for those of you who don't know or not chefs, chefs tend to drink like fish. So it's a great business thing. It's always packed with the right crowd, and then you have live music. So you grew up in Vegas, is that right?
I grew up in Tonopah, Nevada.
Okay, so local enough.
Yeah, 3 hours away.
Cool. And so at what point did you make your way from Tonopah to Las Vegas?
2001. I moved here. I went to culinary school in Portland, Oregon, and then I moved here to do an internship.
So not a lot of people know that about you, right? So you went to culinary school in Portland.
Correct.
And you're really a food guy. I've been to your house, right? That one time you invited me, then you never invited me back, by the way. So, and then you're a total food guy, and then you have one of the coolest bars. So how did you kind of take that path through Vegas when you got here to owning your own spot?
Well, I moved here with the ambitions to be a chef. And after a few years of doing that, I was getting a little bit burnt out. So I moved to a front of the house, fell in love with it, and kind of made up in my mind that I'm going to be in this for life, and I eventually want to own.
Awesome.
And so that's where
we're at. There a moment where that happened? Like you're saying, I'm in this for life? Like, because that's a big...
Yeah, I mean, early, probably like 23, 24 years old, I was like, I'm never getting out of this business. So it's time to really focus and get good at it.
And then was the Sand Dollar your first project, or did you have ownership of something before that?
No, that's first project on our own.
So first time out, home run, it's a big hit. I mean, you guys now, you told me earlier that you kind of resurrected an old brand, took it over and kind of reinvented it. Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, it is. I always wanted to own a restaurant. So did my partners. And long story short, we found out this place was for sale and it was cheap. So we thought it's a good stepping stone. If we can't do this, then we can't do a real restaurant. So like, let's do this bar and run with it.
Got it. And so the plan, how did it work out so far?
It's great. Got a little more gray hair now, but I mean, outside of that, I love it.
You're still handsome, baby. You're still one of the best looking bar guys in town.
Probably got ulcers that I don't even know about, but it's great. I love it.
So recently you worked with a good friend of mine and fellow pizza maker, Chris Decker, and from Metro Pizza. And shout out to Chris, everything but anchovies. Follow him on Instagram for the craziest pizza porn pictures ever. But also he worked with you on developing a pizza at your bar. And so can you talk a little bit about this new project this new launch of pizza?
Yeah. So, ironically, my partner wanted pizza from day one and I was so against it because I had never made pizza and I didn't want to be competing in that world where I know nothing. And then as it turned out, we couldn't get a hood system because of the type of the building we're in. So we found these pizza ovens. So we're like, okay, we got to learn pizza. So I went to talk to Chris. Show me the ways. So here we are.
By the way, you guys know I'm a pizza fanatic. Everything in my life revolves around pizza pie. The pizza at Sand Dollar is surprisingly delicious. And I don't say surprisingly meaning that you don't know anything about pizza and you went to culinary school. That I mean, when you're in a bar like that, you don't expect to get a bite of food that's well thought out. It's super like attention to detail, high quality ingredients. Like you're using these organic tomatoes and like all this best cheese. Like it's not a dive bar pizza. It's like really delicious, high end, great pizza. And so what are some of the challenges of adding in the food into the bar world? You know, how difficult is that?
In all honesty, the difficulty was just the building and the health department issues, but I never ran a bar. I never bartended in my life. So the food came pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's more natural.
And it's closer to your background, right? Initially, you wanted, you know, you studied in a culinary world, right? Going down the path of being a chef, got burnt out, changed that. And then now kind of coming back to your roots, coming back full circle with food.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you looking at another project coming up, or are you trying to do a full restaurant now that Sand Dollar is such a huge success and you've incorporated food as well?
Well, we're definitely always looking, and we want a restaurant, or at least I want a restaurant.
Okay, everybody out there that's looking to invest. Yeah. Okay, if you got some money burning a hole in your pocket and you're looking for an amazing operator who has the love and respect of the entire community in Las Vegas, Jameson's your man. How can we contact you, Jameson, if we want to invest in your restaurant?
Yeah. Anthony@thesanddollarlv.com.
Anthony@thesanddollarlv.com. You know, there's an amazing thing. You don't, before I ever even met you, right? I love the Sand Dollar so much, and I don't get there enough. But I got to tell you, your bar completely changed my whole life. And it was crazy because I was unemployed. It was over a year, 2 years ago now. Kind of thinking about leaving Las Vegas and going back to New York. And I really want to do my own restaurant and just couldn't figure it out and was having trouble getting financing and the right plan. And I'm like, I have this talent and it's burning a hole inside my heart and I can't figure out how to get it to the next level and just get my own place open. And I was there like drinking away my sorrows, literally, at the Sand Dollar. And I overheard a conversation at the bar that this guy, who I didn't know, was interviewing for the general manager position at Evil Pie. And he was talking about the concept. And I'm like, wait, like, I could do that. So if this guy's going to get the job, I can't have him making pizza in my neighborhood. Like, that can't happen. Because this guy didn't really seem like a real pizza guy. He was more of a bar guy. And so that was the first time I heard about Evil Pie. I followed up and pursued the opportunity, became a real big part of it. And then all of a sudden, that led to me having my own place. So if it wasn't for that one moment in your bar, I wouldn't be here on this show. I wouldn't have Good Pie. Evil Pie never would have happened. It was like, I probably would have left the place I love the most to live is Las Vegas, and probably would have been out of here, gone back in New York, figuring out a different struggle, right? A different journey. And so I wanted to share that with you because I'm sure there are more moments like that in your place. Like, as operators of hospitality businesses, we oftentimes don't think about the customer lives that we can change with our places. People, I'm sure husbands and wives may have met there, maybe your staff, the culture of your place. And I wanted to share that with you so you could know how much it means to me. And I didn't even know you, but you helped to change my life with your place. And so that's why we need more operators that are building great places that we can go eat and drink, that are attainable, that are affordable, that are accessible, not just for the local industry foodie crowd, but also for anybody coming in. So if you're out there listening, right, go to the Sand Dollar, experience the magic and the beauty of the room and the culture there. And I think it'll help to make you think about Las Vegas in a completely different way. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to change your life the way it changed mine, because you may not be an eavesdropper like I am, because I listen to everybody's conversation where I shouldn't. But that's what happened at the Sand Dollar.
To be honest, I've seen probably 3 to 4 major off-strip deals being done at 2 a.m. in the Sand Dollar.
Yeah.
A lot of these chefs are planning it. All the chefs are together, huddled around a table, talking, and then 6 months later, someone's opening a restaurant.
That's incredible. It is the melting pot for industry influencers and food and beverage, mostly like the shows there actually are dope. Do you have any cool shows coming up that we can talk about? Any new events coming out?
Yeah, I mean, we have live music every night of the week. In particular, the blues on the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays are our best bands almost always.
And then can you tell us how we can find the Sand Dollar? Everybody get on Facebook, follow Sand Dollar. Where are you guys at on Facebook, Instagram, and all the social?
It's the Sand Dollar LV. Everywhere.
The Sand Dollar LV, Instagram, Facebook. Are you tweeting too? The website?
No tweeting.
Chatting or snapping. We don't snap. We're kind of too old for the snap thing. But guys, check out the Sand Dollar. Jameson, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Just come see me. I mean, mention this show. We'll first beers on us.
Wait, hold on. Okay, wait. Let's say that again.
Mention this show. Any beer from Vegas will... on us.
Hey guys, Go into the Sand Dollar, walk up to the bar this weekend only. Just say the Foodie 411. Jameson sent me, and first beer is on Jameson. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to The Foodie 411 with your host, Vincent Martolo, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. It's 99.7, The Highway Vibe. And we're back. The Foodie 411 with your host, Vincent Martolo. You're listening to 99.7, The Highway Vibe. Coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios on Las Vegas Boulevard. Coming in to the studio, your favorite actor, comedian, writer, filmmaker, extraordinaire.
All these things.
Jason Harris, welcome to the show.
Woo, I'll cheer for myself. Nobody else is cheering for me.
Jason, we're going to get... I've been asking for an applause button, Sean...
I don't want a button. I want real applause.
Well,
this engineer you got here is eating. He's chomping down on some good pie right now. You know, he can't even fix the levels because he's got a grandma pie.
Listen, that's how we roll. Foodie 411. We eat grandma pizza. We roll in. But Jason, seriously, man, I'm really happy you could join us. I know you got a crazy schedule, and you know I want to just get right into getting to know like how you ended up in Las Vegas, because I know you're not born and raised here,
no,
are you?
No, I'm New Jersey originally, as you can tell by my attitude. So
Jersey, you know, attitude. Shout out to New Jersey.
That's right, North Jersey.
Dirty,
strong.
Dirty Jersey.
Dirty Jersey.
And then when did you get out here to Vegas?
I've been out here on and off since 96. My dad moved out, then we all moved out. I finished high school out here. I kept leaving and coming back, and I'm here. You got me. You're stuck with me now.
So you're here for good. And, you know, one of the cool things about you, man, I remember we kind of got closer together. We bonded when the shooting's happening October 1st, you know, back with the Mandalay Bay, you know, that old jazz. I don't want to bring up. But what you did was really special. You helped bring the culinary community together. You worked tirelessly to help feed first responders and victims' families. And you did it in a way that was, it wasn't promoting it, right? It wasn't like, you know, because some people were taking it a little too far with the self-promotion of that. And I didn't appreciate those types. But what you did came from the heart. And I looked at you a completely different way because it really helped me to feel like I was living in the right city. You know what I mean?
That's a nice compliment, man. I appreciate it. I always said, like, when that was going on, if they needed someone to sing a song, I couldn't help. But if they needed someone to get food together, that's something I could do. So let's do it, you know?
Well, so. But I heard you can sing. Isn't that true?
No, I cannot sing. But I can tell jokes. I can, you know, and I can get food to people. And you know what? Back then, you were still at Evil Pie.
Yes.
Or you were in between or whatnot.
Exactly right. I was kind of just left Evil Pie. And then I was, you know, working on the new concept, the Good Pie Pizza Shop. And then this happened kind of right in the middle. And it was a devastating blow to kind of feel like what I felt, because it reminded me of those feelings I had when I was living in New York around 9/11. And then just getting out there to cook and working with other culinary professionals, it helped gave us a purpose and an outlet for feeling positive and coming together. And that was amazing for me to be a part of.
Yeah. So one thing people don't know is we had set up all those kind of food truck, like satellites, I'll call them, where different hospital parking lots. And we had like this whole organization running food all over the city. But what people don't know is me and a couple of guys, we would go out at night and we would go to victims' houses and we would bring them Evil Pie and we wouldn't tell them. We would knock on their door. And
that's awesome.
Be like, who are you? Who are you? What are you doing here? And we were like, we know you're going through a hard time. We thought some pizza would help. And like, you wouldn't believe what pizza does to like break down barriers. People were so happy that we would deliver pizza to them and everything.
Pizza is powerful, guys. That's I've been trying to say that. I've been, you know, when I was opening my restaurant, I was running out of money, but I had a lot of pizza around. And what I learned is pizza can actually be like a commodity. It's like the new Bitcoin. It's like the Piz coin. You can just pay for stuff with pizza. Half of the equipment in my restaurant I bought by exchanging for pizza. I don't know if you guys knew that. That's a true story.
I believe it.
So let's just shift gears, because you're a guy that gets to eat for a living and gets to
clearly
go to great restaurants for a living.
As you can tell.
Right?
Yeah. Because I'm fat. You can't see it, you radio listeners.
Well, listen, the reality is, man, you wear it well, by the way. You're looking pretty good.
Yeah,
I
big
tell
sexy.
You.
I got the bear thing going for me. All you highway listeners looking to come into Vegas, find yourself a sexy bear.
Wow, man. So, but all kidding aside, and I know you got a larger-than-life personality and you're really hysterical as a comedian, but when I read your articles, man, you're a really talented writer. You can bring kind of people into that world. And so let's just talk about where you're eating right now, the last three or four great meals that you had, and tell people where they were and what you ate.
Okay, you're not going to believe it, though. The last great meal, and you should go. You and Anthony should both go because you're both pizza guys. Genie's at the Nordstrom's. They just redid the whole cafe up there. That place is fire. Their food is stupid good, and it's Tom Douglas out of Seattle. So he's like, you know, the science genius, and he does pizza different than you guys. He does the thinnest, like almost cracker pies, right? You know, and he's like, I had this thermodynamically, you know, looked at to see how the heat was ventilating and everything.
And for people listening that don't know, where is the Nordstrom's?
It's in the Fashion Show Mall, and if you go upstairs, like, it's just there. And I'm like, what is this? This has no business being this good. It's good.
I heard from three or four other people that it's fantastic, and obviously, now what did the chef? What's the chef's name again?
Tom Douglas.
So Tom Douglas from Seattle. Yeah. He did a few things in there too, right?
So he's, you know, I think James Beard winner, all this and that, and right. What he's doing is he made the deal with Nordstrom's. We're the second one. Vegas is the second one that he's kind of redone, and he, you know, wherever the location is, he kind of, you know, modifies the menu for that. But man, he just yoked this one.
Wow.
That's great. Yeah.
I got to check it out. I'm going to head there this weekend, actually. And so what's another place that we want to know about?
Another place that's new that you want to know about?
Or where have you eaten recently? It could be anywhere. On strip, off strip, anywhere that you've eaten recently that like it left you an impression, because you eat a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I don't have much time to myself, so it's nice when I can get out early Saturday and Sunday morning and get brunch. And man, I live in the Green Valley area, and we are just like stacked with brunch. It used to be Kitchen Table, Craft Kitchen, lines out the door, worthwhile. That Jared is probably maybe the most underrated chef in the city right now. And then the Stove, what Anthony and Scott are doing, they've taken a space that no one could make work, and they've made it a must-go-to space. The food is great, and the vibe they have in there is incredible, you know, so I'm proud of those guys.
So where's the Stove?
It's all the way up Eastern, almost towards Anthem, and it's on like the second floor of this small complex, and they have this like whimsical, like out of this world feel, but the food's really good. It's good stuff, man.
We got to get those guys on the show, because I don't get out to that area that much, but I need to make a trip and check those dudes out. So guys, we're talking about Jason Harris's last three great meals, right? And so the Stove out in Henderson, I think you can find him on Facebook, the Stove LV. And then
probably.
And then was it Craft Kitchen?
I love Craft Kitchen. That's my two brunch go-tos. And then we mentioned Genie's over at the Nordstrom's as like this kind of real weird, delicious find.
And where is Craft Kitchen? How can we find them?
That's also on Eastern. If you just shoot down Eastern towards, there's a lot going on down there, man. I went to this, pho is like a great, we have a lot of good pho places. There's a new one on Eastern called Pho King. That's like, ha ha ha, we know the joke. But really, that's what it's
pho
called.
Pho King is a great spot. You got to check out Pho King
it's
if you want
so
some good pho.
Yeah, you guys can make all the hack jokes you want, but I'll just keep getting that ribeye.
Don't say the P word. We've been going over with Sean the words that we're allowed to say on the air. I can call Jason Harris an asshole. That's fine. It's not a problem with that.
And true.
That's good. And not that he is, but if I were getting like to the point where I felt like I needed to call Jason Harris an asshole, like I could say that and it's okay. But there's certain other words we can't say.
But you got to know, Vincent and I are friends. Like, and I'm sure we've both called each other assholes in the past.
Well, so. I've never said that about you, of course.
I say it about you a lot.
It's actually true. So what events you got coming up? You got any shows coming up that we want to let people know about?
Yeah. So, well, you know, you brought up feeding people. This is something I haven't told anyone. We're feeding the center, the LGBTQ center. So we're going to do Thanksgiving for all their senior citizens next week. 10 different chefs are all making a dish. We're feeding 160 people, so I'm really proud of that, you know.
Just that's to amazing. Give something back. And where can we see your comedy show?
My comedy, well, while we're recording, tonight I'm at the Stratosphere. That's kind of where I have my next kind of few gigs booked. But you can find me on all the social media, Jason Harris Comedy or Jay Harris Comedy, and I'll always update you that way.
So Jason Harris Comedy on social, also Jason Harris, the food writer. Thanks so much for being with us, Jason. Any final words to the listeners that where can they find the best off-strip meal?
The best off-strip meal depends what you're looking for, but that's the beauty of Las Vegas. There's so many different types of meals. The guys you had in today, both are putting in.
It's a total cop stuff. Out. Sorry, I put you on the
what
spot.
What kind of
but
food?
Clearly...
Give me a type of food.
No, listen, I know you're friends with everybody and you're running for office, so we can't talk about what the best meal is. Let's just say it's good pie. The best off-strip meal. Guys, head over to Good Pie for the Grandma Pizza. Sean, the producer's eating it. Everybody here is having good pie.
You can
pie.
See it. It's still on Sean's face right there.
All right, guys, we got to take a break here, and we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to 99.7 The Highway Vibe. This is Vincent Rotolo giving you the Foodie 411. And we're back. The Foodie 411, 99.7 The Highway Vibe. I'm Vincent Rotolo, your host. I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a fabulous show today. Also, really, the guest here, phenomenal, phenomenal inspiration, Nectali Mendoza. Thank you so much, Nectali. Herbs and Rye, one of the best restaurants off-strip, cocktail program, and don't forget that late-night happy hour, one of the best steak deals in town over at Herbs and Rye and Cleaver, the new spot. Check them out, Herbs and Rye and Cleaver. Also, thank you so much, Anthony Jameson, joining us here today. Guys, check out the Facebook page for the Sand Dollar Lounge. It's always a cool event every weekend, and some of the really best pizza you can find within any bar or any pizza place in Chinatown. And last but not least, my good buddy Jason Harris. Always a blast having that guy here. Great energy, super funny, and one of the most knowledgeable food writers in all of Las Vegas. Jason Harris, thank you so much. And remember, Black Friday special at Good Pie, guys. So what we're doing for today is a black garlic stromboli and calzone. We have this black garlic honey that we got from our buddy James Trees at Esther's Kitchen. We're going to do it today only. So come into Good Pie on Black Friday and just say, hey, I'm here for the black garlic special. You'll get the stromboli or calzone 50% off, okay? At Good Pie, come check us out. Thank you so much again. We're here every Friday giving you the Foodie 411, highlighting off-strip food and beverage activities and events. I'm Vincent Rotolo, your host. It's been a great, great show. Thank you so much. You're listening to 99.7, The Highway Vibe, coming to you live from Palm Plaza Studios. We'll see you all next week with the Foodie 411. We're out.